Welcome to the Fat Easy Muskie Podcast. I'm Andy. Joined on the phone, Todd Young. Hi, Todd.
I am here. Shoot him in the leg, boys. There's no better time to shoot him in the leg than right now.
Oh, there's your advice. All right. Well, I'm going to get a couple announcements out of the way. If you haven't seen my Facebook post, I'm going to be posting a few more times prior to the Muskie Odyssey up there in Canada. And Hans the Carver, Red October booth. If you are looking for tubes or Hans the Carver crankbaits or AZ rod holders, make sure you go there quickly. They have a very limited supply of slanted rod holders with down easts. Now, I'm going to just kind of, for anyone that didn't hear this, here's the deal. They have 25 boxes. Inside of the box are two slanted bases with down easts. There is, that's just how it is. That's how it's sold, just for the sake of keeping things simple. That's what they have. So if you were looking for something else, I'm sorry. This is what we're starting off with. Yeah. We got to test the water to see if even trying to do all the whole border crossing thing is in our wheelhouse. But right now, if you're looking to save a boatload on some AZ rod holders, this is like the best time, especially if you're going to the Odyssey. So I got to remember, it was $340 Canadian dollars for the pair. Or when I say pair, I mean the box. So one box, two rod holders with down east, $340 Canadian. That's substantially cheaper than paying, I don't even know what it would be in Canadian, but it's like dang near $300 US to ship those two up there. And here's the deal. I've had a lot of people reach out. I just, because it's not us, I can't promise any holds. First come, first serve.
Yeah, there is
no limits. Like, if you show up and buy all of them, I'm not there. I can't control this stuff. So here's how it is. There's no limits. It's not like it's one per box. It's let's just see how these things go. And I can't promise to hold any of this stuff. So I would say that if that's something that you want, I'd probably find Red October pretty quickly. I'm anticipating they're going to sell out, but I really don't know. So
yeah, that's right. We don't know.
I don't want to pump this up and have it be like, oh yeah, we brought all of them back. But yeah. At the same
time, we're bringing all of them back. There's enough people to be interested. But as you said, Andy, I mean, we've toyed with this many times before, crossing the border and doing it and, you know, going through the agent and all this. And we'll see how it goes. And that's the simplest way. I mean, we can't take all of our stuff for, you know, two people that want an extension bracket that's 6 inches or the, you know, a tube on the thing. That's just the easy way to get up there. We'll see how it goes and we'll go from there.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be for someone to learn all the ins and outs and take all the stuff that AZ makes for rod holders. It's basically a college level course. Knowing which bolts, knowing this, knowing how this adapts to that, and
for everything we offer.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, I ran the show once or twice without you, and you know, I can remember, you know, texting. I think we were in the Ohio show, texting, and like someone wants this and this and this, and you were like, man, that's something we've dealt with like twice. Why aren't people just buying the regular stuff? But yeah, you got to make sure you get the right length and
yeah, the correct bolts, what goes with what package, and
and I just didn't know what bin it was in. I know what needs to be done. I just didn't know how it was packed. And I mean, last year at our show, I mean, this past season at the shows, Andy, I mean, handful of miscellaneous stuff. What's going to be up there in Canada is the 80% of the sales.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, a realistic, that the slanted base with a down east. Yep. You know, I apologize, but I hope that everyone can understand that this is the package. Like, we're not splitting boxes open. Hans and Red October, you know, Mark Arena and all, they have their booth. So this is, you know, I can't expect them to take the crash course. So, so anyways, I don't think there's going to be too much complaining, but I just wanted to say that this is kind of how it is, because it has been asked repeatedly in our messages about, you know, hey, can you hold? Can you do this? Can you? This is what it is. So be sure, visit them. I'm going to try to get Hans on before.
That would be nice.
Because he's been coming out with some updated versions of his crankbaits and stuff I'm sure he'd like to talk about. But
absolutely. That would be cool.
So anyways, and I'm going to tell you what. There's a place up in Buffalo that makes some, like, killer donuts. I'm sure there's, like, in every big city. But I've recently had them. They're enormously huge. Like, it's, like, 3 to 4 times the regular donut. And it's, you know, it's like a mom and pop kind of thing. Like, you kind of have to be around there to know the name. But, yeah, he's brought me them a week.
He's brought them down.
He's brought them down.
Oh, that sounds good, Andy.
I'm going to tell you what. I didn't feel right after eating all of them, but...
You didn't give any to the kids?
No, I'm not bringing them home. Mama wouldn't let that. But the guys, you know, we put them on the lunchroom table. And
now, did your wife happen to know that you survived on a box of double-stuffed Oreos for 2 days?
Oh, yeah, that's a superpower of mine.
Okay, so she knew that.
I mean, yeah, you could switch out Oreos with, like, beef jerky or...
Yeah, yeah. Anything. Yeah,
yeah, Mountain Dew. Yeah, and for anyone out there, it's like, I talk about this.
And you never did.
Well, I mean, I can do that, but it's not what I do every day.
No.
It sucks, but I try to drink about a gallon of water a day, Monday through Friday at work, and it sucks. And... I have a sweet tooth too, but I don't like, you know, buy a pallet of that stuff, but it's fun to talk about.
It's fun to talk about with the show. Yeah. I mean, there's times that I go when I'm working or something's very busy or you're working a show. At the end of the day, I'm driving home. It's like, man, I don't feel good. What's going on? It's like, I eat 2 pieces of beef jerky today. I mean, that's why.
Yeah. Let me see if that Werther's original is still in the other cup holder.
Yeah. Let me see something I can do. Yeah. That happens. I just did a show like that this past weekend. I did a little gun show / outdoor show locally. And, you know, I'm driving home. I just felt like crap. And it was just, but yeah, you dummy. You didn't eat anything. I had one 12-ounce thing of water, however those. What's a bottled water, 12 or 16?
16.9 or whatever the metric conversion is.
That's what I had.
Yeah.
And I did exactly what you said, Andy. I was like, well, I threw a pack of deer stick in there. So I'm driving home, digging in behind me while I'm driving to pull that out. But
yeah, that is a little secret thing. So let's see. How do I want to... Like, not sound like someone who just eats nothing but sugar. But so my daughter, she is working hard to become a softball pitcher. She's going to be, oh my gosh, she's going to be 12 this year. Yeah. She's 11 now. She'll be 12 here in June. And she's pretty good for her age, but we have to, we go to these, the travel ball that she's in. We have pitching coached lessons that are included with it. And sometimes she has a catcher from the team show up. Well, I know that sometimes this sucks on a Monday night. You know, the girls don't always feel like doing it. But if it's part of the thing, you kind of want to do it, because if not, you're paying $50 to have a 1-hour lesson. with a coach, and this is happens to be her coach anyway outside of these lessons. So something I started doing months ago was the girls on the team really love peach rings. If anyone knows what it is, it's a gummy with sugar on it. Okay, it's sugar on sugar, but it kind of has a peach flavor. So how I kind of do this is I go into Dollar General and buy every single one they have. They're a dollar. And it's a small bag, but it's enough that, like, now the girls think that this is the fun thing to do on Monday nights is they have peach rings. Not all those bags end up going to them. If you need an emergency sugar hit,
yeah,
just keep them under the seat in the bag. And then you can, that's a little thing, you know, try to have something, whether it's a pack of crackers or, you know, a six pack of Gatorade or something in the back. And it's nice once in a while you're working, you're like, ah, crap. I got this back there. Yeah. So try to keep something like that. But my emergency backup is peach rings.
Peach rings. And I definitely do that when I'm hunting, you know, back as a kid, when I was a kid a long time ago, like when we took the hunter safety course, you know, they wanted you to take matches and, you know, starter sticks for starting a fire. How do you start a fire? How do you survive? I mean, this is way before anybody had phones that, like, if you fall out of the tree or if you got your phone on you, they can find you in 1 second. But I still do that when I'm hunting. I always like, well, you know, what happens? I walked 100 yards over to the tree stand. I'm sitting there. I'm not going to starve to death. But
if you get turned around, just walk it. You're not going to go much more than 3/4 mile before you hit a road. So
yeah. If I get lost in the place I've been going to for 40 years,
it was your time.
More help than that granola bar, you know. But
right.
I always do take a couple extra granolas and stuff like that just in case.
Just in case. And it's probably not a bad idea to have that stuff on the boat. Just next time you're at a convenience store or something like that, grab a couple. Like a go-to is a Snickers, as long as it doesn't get too hot. It's got like all the food groups in it, kind of. But it does. It's a savior.
Yeah.
So, anyways, yeah, always try to throw something in. You know, waters are always good, but sometimes when it sucks out, it's nice to have something with a little flavor. So,
And I've been in this situation. I've drinking. I don't know what you want to call it. I have just drank right out of the lake before.
Now that's hardcore.
Well, you know, if there comes a time when sometimes that has to happen. I'm not saying I've done it in the last 30 years, but I have definitely done that.
Did it tear you up?
No. I drank out of Lake Wilhelm up in the swampy area. I was up there in this little rowboat rowing around because there's no motors allowed in that area. And, I mean, we just didn't prepare. We prepared for fishing. We didn't prepare for anything else or the heat or the sun. We didn't want to leave. And it's like, the heck with it. I'm just drinking. I got to get something. And I drank a little, you know, we drank right out of the lake and that was good.
I don't know how you're still alive.
Call me lucky. I don't know. That's what they did back
in the
day. You get
like Giardia or something.
Yeah, I could have. But I lived.
Well,
yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah, yep.
So, anyways, I don't know how we got on a drinking pond water from the Odyssey, but... anyways, something else. Now, it is it's not finalized yet, but... I'll drop a little teaser. We're not going to talk much beyond the teaser, but AZ is working on a new hard bait. That's all we're going to say. When I say a new hard bait, it could possibly be 3 or 4. So let's just, we can leave it at that.
You haven't really come out with a new bait in a while. I mean,
a hard bait in a while.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So we've, We've got some stuff in the works. It's still very early on, but guess what? It's a long season, and I hope we can start posting some fish photos here when things get cranking. So,
yeah.
Anyways, we'll just leave it. What's that?
I haven't even been out yet. I mean, I'm getting ready.
I'm not even going to comment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, your season ought to be kicking up here soon. Right?
Yeah, I'm starting on the 15th, so I still got a couple weeks.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. Andy, I'm old school. It's just like I've been out and started early. I have a weird feeling catching a big muskie, picking it up to take pictures, and eggs are pouring all over my boat. Like, for me growing up until a few years ago, maybe more than a few, 10 years ago, I don't know.
Probably 15 to 18 years ago.
Well, yeah, it feels like 10. But it was like, that was close season. I mean, I don't care that people do it. I've done it. I've been there, done that. But I'm always like, man, if I wait till like the middle of April, you know, they won't be like spawning, even though that's why we have an open season. It doesn't matter because they say there's not enough natural reproduction. And I agree with that. I don't know. I just have a weird feeling about that. So I always say I start right after Easter, and usually Easter is about the second week of April.
Yeah. Not in like 4 days.
Not this year. Yeah. This year is one of those. Yeah. So taking the boat down to Vic's, Vic's is going to get me hooked up with the, doing some service on my big motor on the Ranger. And, that's going to happen next week, and getting prepared, getting ready to get it rolling. That's what I'm doing here at Muddy Creek.
Nice. And let's see here. I think I have all the baits packaged up that need to go to the last of the wholesalers as of this recording. So brick and mortar stores, O'Donnell's and Hogan's Hut.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be restocking them. So I believe I got all them. So I'm telling everyone that's listening, I'm also telling you, Todd, that everything is packaged up.
Yeah. Stop by and pick them up. Yeah.
So anyways, aside from that.
Good deal.
Kind of wrapping up continuing on. The last time we did a BS podcast, I told the... My story of triumph over those that mile of trenching that I was attempting to do.
The trenching.
The trenching. And we you know, I don't think it was that big of a cliffhanger for people, but the story did continue further.
Yeah, it did.
So after all the trenching debacle, what was it? I'm going to pretty much just, I can throw this one into your court there, Todd.
Yeah, I was up in New York. I hunted a few days in New York.
You're hunting spring turkey.
Yes, spring turkey. And when Andy was telling the trenching story, I thought it was going to lead up to, my little story from the day when he had his friend come over to, you know, finish it out with the excavator, basically. I happened to be up there. I was opening up camp. This is like 2 days before the opener. Chautauqua season opens on June 1 every year. Now, I mean, that's the new rules. Used to be the last Saturday. So I went up and, camp was ready. I took the boat up. I was there a day early. I was like, this is partly why I have my trailer up at the campground, is always wanted to do some extra spring turkey hunting other than just Pennsylvania. And I buzzed over to Andy's little property there. It happened to be the same day the trenching was going on. So Andy knows this is happening. His friend is coming to do this. And I was like, yeah, I'm all good. Whatever happens, happens. So Andy sends me a message early, like you were going to work. This was like on a Wednesday or Thursday, second to the last day of the season. And he's like, yeah, he's going to show up here in maybe an hour. And I was like, Andy, big Tom turkey out in the field right now with two hens.
So let's give a little background on this. This is like your third or fourth time coming to my property.
That was the fourth trip.
Fourth trip. And it is not a short walk from where you park to where you were going. So I'm going to try to chalk this up as into easy geometric shapes. Let's just say my property is a rectangle. And the rectangle is, if anyone can envision it, let's just say it's 100 acres for easy saying. There is a triangle of about 20 acres in the, if you have the rectangle in front of you, it's a sheet of paper. The upper left corner, just make a triangle, and that's my wooded area, my timber, about 20 acres. Then then fold the paper in half, and then you've got like this valley in the middle, and that valley contains two ponds. One, what would be on the south side, which is like if the paper was sitting there on the desk in front of you, the edge closest to you, there's a pond, I don't know, 10-15% up, there's a pond. And then you're going to go this the same valley, that crease that you made, it's, let's just call it straight, and then it goes into another pond in the same valley. And you're going to wonder, well, why is it like this? Well, because that middle area, it's about 7 acres that it's really steep going down into this creek. And it's kind of brushy. And it, to me, it looks like a finger of brush on the map. And, you know, and I'm explaining this as if everyone's five, because if I don't, people will think that it means something else. I call that the middle finger because it's in the middle of the property and it's a finger. It's not because of the sign, meaning everyone knows what the middle finger means. So the reason that those ponds exist was a previous owner at some point had to get his tractor in gear because everything else is field. He had to be able to haul these big tractors east and west, and he needed a place to get across there. So how do you do it? Well, you have to build a road. Well, this road dams up this drainage. And so that's how I got two ponds. You have the northern pond, which elevation-wise is lower, and then the southern pond, but, you know, you call it the upper and the, it gets kind of confusing when you use the terms. Yeah. But so they don't have to travel hundreds of yards with equipment. They have two points to cut across. And my barn is in what would be the lower right-hand corner or the southeast, the furthest point from really anywhere of kind of desirable hunting situations. And where Todd would typically hunt would be the... Now, remember how that triangle of timbers in the upper left corner, he's hunting that edge. So it's hundreds and hundreds of yards to get there.
I walked 10,000 miles for a turkey, but...
That's a lot of miles for a turkey.
No, yeah, well, I would. But anyhow,
So you struck out three or four other times.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there were birds around. They weren't on the property. I had other properties I wanted to go to. I heard them, and I heard them come down from roost, and I heard them go different directions. Like, I don't think there's anything. I mean, can you sit there and you can hunt them like deer? You can. But I was like, I got a couple other spots I want to hit. So I, you know, ran back and got in the car the other times. Nothing was on the property. However, if we go back to last year, I was helping Andy a little bit up there. He let me drive his tractor. First time I ever drove a big tractor. And when we were done,
I had 5 acres of standing corn.
Yeah. 5 acres of standing. Let me drive the tractor.
There was no corn left. It was corn stalks.
With the stalks. Yes.
And he mowed it down for me while I was cutting brush and what have you.
Yep. Brush hogged it. And then at the end, he was doing other stuff. I was doing that. And he's like, oh, that's a big help. We got that done. And I got to drive a tractor. It was kind of fun. I mean, I am a hick from Western PA, but I just never drove a tractor. But when we took this ride, we took a ride on your mule or whatever that is.
Yeah, I have. It's a Honda.
The Honda.
It's a Pioneer.
Yeah. We go right down beyond where I was cutting, and there was snow. There's all these drag marks and turkey tracks everywhere. And like, they were probably there when I was cutting, but I was concentrating with something else. And, where they went in, there was this old round bale. I think it's a round bale, isn't it? Maybe it's just square bales.
No, it was a big round bale for whatever reason. If hay is your crop, they left a lot of round bales.
Yeah. This huge, big round bale that was left for that round bale to be the size that I was there. It was out there for a lot. You know, they didn't just leave it the year before you got there. We'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. But I was, this could be the perfect spot right here. You know, if I come up in the spring, I'll just tuck in behind this bale. Meanwhile, as Andy said, I did three other hunts before then, never worked out, but I end up down at that round bale that day, and that is where I'm sitting. And, now I start, Andy's texting me, I'm texting him back. There is a big gobbler right on top of the knoll, which is probably, I call it a knoll. It's just just as it cuts down. That, like, if it was just setting it up for me, I'd be like, I'd have something set. This is where I would sit. But I knew that round bale was down there. It's a little thick up top, and I would have to, like, tuck into the brush. I was like, I'm just going to get on that round bale. Had I been where I originally thought I should be, this would have all been over. But anyhow, I'm down at the round bale, the original round bale, the first time I've ever at Andy's property that I picked. And I was like, I think I can shoot one right off of this thing. So I'm there. Andy's texting me. He's already on his way to work. What's going on? I got a guy coming. I was like, just let him come. We'll figure out what happens. You know, he's too far away. I can't shoot right now. And this turkey is fiddly farting around. He'll answer me. He'll come down. He came down pretty close. I mean, to the point where when I say pretty close, I say, you know, within 60 yards. I don't like to take a shot like that. I want them within 50. I know I can kill them. And so I didn't shoot. Time passes.
No, he's coming into like 60 and then moving out. Didn't he?
Yeah.
He was coming in and out.
Yeah. He's into 60, then he's out of sight. He's with those two hens. If I call him, he'll turn and he'll come towards me a little bit, a few steps. Then he turns around and he goes with the real thing. You know, I'm sitting there. I didn't have a decoy out or anything. He hears it, but he's already got his hens. So this is playing on till... I mean, this starts at 6:30, probably earlier than that time of year. I mean, it got light early. It's light early then.
It started at first light.
Yeah, first light. There he is right up on the knoll, but he was like 100 yards away. In the cornfield that I cut. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, so... You know, it's back and forth, and Andy's like, he's there. What do you want me to do? I said, send him in to do the trenching. We'll see what happens.
Now just to kind of for everyone to understand, Todd's in the upper left, and Tommy is in the lower right,
mm-hmm.
where he has to park and take out the skid steer, not the skid steer, the mini. And now he's mm-hmm. there with the mini because I was unable to complete the task of trenching and putting in my drain tile because of the whole, you know, opportunity that I had not long prior to this. So he's coming to just do it with the mini because he could do it while I'm at work. And there's something to be said about coming up to something and it's already done.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he's coming to do that. I filled him in as much as I could about it. And he's like, well, what do you want me to do? I said, well, start on the tile that's right there by the building. It's just like it sweats up there all year long. And my buggy trails just turn into just rutted, like skid steer, like big, deep ruts. I want it to dry up so I can drive on it. So I said, start on that one right there by the building. You know, maybe that'll, you know, do whatever it's going to do. And so that's where he did. And I'm going to let Todd take it.
Yeah, so I mean, as you remember, I mean, I'm just a visitor there. I had a morning, like a day and a half before I'm starting the charters, and I went. I was like, just do your thing. So I hear the truck pull in. I can't see the gobbler at this point because he was rolling over this hill and coming back, and I'd see him, but like I said, always 60 yards, following those hens around. The hens did not want to come in. When I would call, they were, so I didn't call that much. They would like go the other way. So anyhow, I hear him pull in. I was like, well, he's pulling in. This is it. I mean, it is what it is. And, he's pulling in, and I can see the hen out in front of me. Gobbler, still can't see him. Then I start seeing the tip of his fan. I hear him unloading the thing, and, you know, one thing leads to another. And, now I hear him driving it, and he's coming down, and the bird is standing there. And like I said, I don't, I've never done this before because I shouldn't say this. I've missed turkeys. I've not got turkeys. I've wounded a couple turkeys. You know, I don't, that's just terrible to me. Killed lots of turkeys. But, now I can hear the machine coming, and the bird is, the hen is like, you know, walking sort of towards me, 45 degree angle off to my right, coming across. And I look out, and there comes the fan. I was like, well, we'll see what happens. Andy sends me one last text. He's coming back. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I hear him. He's coming back on the machine. I said, the bird's like at 60 yards. I'm not going to shoot. And then, and he's like, do you want him to wait? No. I said, just go. We'll see what happens. And I think the next thing I sent you was like, well, I took the shot, Andy. That's all I sent you.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, like, well, what happened? The next picture was him laying on the round bale.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got the turkey.
I got the bird. We got the bird. That's very exciting for me.
It is. I mean, considering, you know, everyone has heard about the 6-foot muskie that lives under your, you know, the neighbor's dock or what have you. I had with good authority that in the field just down the street from us, someone counted 50 gobblers before the beginning of the season. So
you told us, and I was like, man, I'm really under the gun. There's birds around there. I take pride in my turkey hunting, and I didn't see 50, but yeah. And it was a nice big, it was a beautiful big tom, big spurs. And I took a little bit further shot. He was pushing that 50 yard range, but man, I dumped him. So
there's no that degree was, to dead.
He was dead. He was dead. But,
yeah, so that's the first turkey off the property.
Yeah, and that wraps up the trenching story. We said last time we were going to continue the story, but
mm-hmm. And all the tile got put in, so the story's going to continue this year. I got the main trunk in. I haven't put any of the arms off yet. Mm-hmm. So the big thing was to get that main trunk in, and why I had Tommy do it was because I didn't want to have to pick up all of those rolls of 250 foot drain tile that were stacked in the middle of my field.
The bears sitting everywhere in your field.
You were not the only person that commented that they thought that was a bear. So there is off to the east. You can get on the road. It's actually higher than the property, and for a very brief time driving, you can look into most of my field. But just how stuff sat, there was one big roll of drain tile that people mistaken. I mean, at what, 600-800 yards, maybe even further, you see a black spot in the middle of a field,
mm-hmm.
Your initial thing is it's a bear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I even had my friend who helped me unload that. a week or two later, he goes, man, I thought for sure I saw a 400-pound black bear in your field. Then I realized it was a drain tile.
Yeah. Well, and when I was up there turkey hunting, I'm going out in the pitch dark, and it starts getting daylight, and it's like, oh, there's no turkeys around, but there's bears everywhere.
Yeah. Tons of them.
Tons of bears.
Mm. Well, I also have a neighbor who I talked to a lot more prior to like the last couple, you know, probably the first year or so that I had that property. We texted pretty often, and he was an older guy, and I've quickly found out he had an imagination.
Mm-hmm.
But he you know, just this is just how magical this place is that I have, okay? So
yeah.
He told me that, you know, this guy, he runs livestock. He does like lambs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's very conscientious about predators, because, you know, you get a couple coyotes, you can lose some sheep pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he you know, his parents' 50 acres is right next door to mine to the east. And he told me, he's like, yeah, I walked in the field, you know, there at mom and dad's. And he goes, you know, I saw some wolf tracks. And I'm like, wolf, really?
Really?
And he's like, yeah, these were bigger than coyotes. These were wolves.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I think their den is on your property. Really? No kidding. Well, I'm going to take my chances because there are no wolves around here.
Yeah.
He also claimed to have seen Sasquatch. Mm-hmm. that is a common thing up there.
Chautauqua County, more sightings than anywhere in the United States.
Well,
they have the big convention there. So,
yeah, I think they also have one down by Warren, but those are really close to each other anyway. So, yeah, it's a hot spot. You know, stories from another friend who his father has property on the other side of the country block of mine. The old farmer would not sell the property to my friend's father. This is going way back. Because of, there was gold.
Oh.
There was gold on the property. And he wouldn't sell it. Because he wants the gold for himself.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, I believe he was a dairy farmer.
He wasn't mining or...
No, why would you?
Yeah, I mean...
You got white gold coming out of those cows all the time, so why would you go after physical gold?
Getting paid a dollar a gallon and they're selling it for $5. Yeah. Why would you get?
There's something in the water up there.
There is, yeah. There's something in the water, lots of places, yeah.
But something also neat up there, this is really interesting to me. I think I told you this already. There is a watershed divide that goes across my property. The lower left corner goes to French Creek, Allegheny, the Gulf of Mexico. And probably 3/4 of it, which would be everything like the upper right. If you could take that sheet of paper, that all goes to Lake Erie, 20 mile.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're right. You're right on that.
I'm right on the divide.
Right on that divide.
So that's kind of neat.
It is neat. Yep.
So anyways, that bleeds into, so you shoot the turkey and then you're going into fishing season.
Season going. I mean, we'll talk a little, I guess we should talk a little musky fishing on the Fat Izzy musky products. But yeah, I wrapped up that spring, Pennsylvania, phenomenal fishing in Pennsylvania this year for me. Lots of fish, not saying we got that many big fish, but we did get a lot of fish, and pretty much everywhere we went, I fish a variety of four or five different lakes, and numbers were great. Had some good fish on, didn't put them in the boat, got some nice fish. And then that leads you into the opener 2023.
I'm going to pause you right there. Do you feel what the Fish Commission has done in Pennsylvania with stalking the bigger fish in this, like holding them for a year, has that made had an impact?
1,000%. Yeah.
Like, did it bring dead lakes back, or did it just make everything great, or did you see a shift of any of that?
Man, it just brought lakes back. Like I said, so I think we've talked about this, but I mean, I was a tournament director for years, maybe 4 years for Three Rivers. And you're going back to like 2006, 7, 8, 9, something like that.
Three Rivers Muskies Inc. Three Rivers Chapter of Muskie Inc.
Up till 2010, because that's when the tornado hit at Chautauqua. And that's how I know that was the last year. And I was already guiding up there at Chautauqua. But, 2010, I mean, so, you know, everyone was all gung-ho about these tournaments, and we started doing these team tournaments at Chautauqua, like, let's just add them up for the day, you know, whoever's in the boat, you can't just, you know, let somebody reel them all in. They're like, well, you know, let's do it at Pymatuning, let's do it at these other lakes, and I was just like, it doesn't matter. No one ever turns in more than one fish. That was the fishing. Lots of years. Everybody's showing up and we're catching, you know, there's three fish caught. Now I will say, you know, back then, like, let's just throw Pymatuning out there. You know, we had tournaments where there'd be three fish caught, in the whole tournament. But they were all big, you know, they were nice big fish, but there was just this lack. Well, believe me, that's changed now. And you know, the numbers have changed immensely. Now, whether these all fish will all grow to be large in the future, I mean, there's always some big ones around there, but, you know, you have to watch putting them all in there. There's a lot of red spot going on some of these lakes because they've, you know, with what they're doing, it's working. The population is increasing, you know. All the lakes I've been fishing, every single one of them, PA, unbelievable. Okay. It worked. There's no doubt it worked. I don't even know if they're still doing it, Andy.
That holding him over?
Yeah, I don't know what happened this year, but you know, from what I heard and from some of the people that I talked to, I don't even know how much they're going to have to put out there. But I mean, it wouldn't make that big of a deal if you miss a year here and there. But
did something happen or what?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to the guy we had on, Jared.
Yeah,
them all leaving. I don't know what happened, but I don't know that they had the I don't know that they kept them for sure this year to do that. No, I'm just hearing stuff through the grapevines, but I mean, a year wouldn't matter, but hopefully they get back to doing that because it definitely made a big difference.
Okay.
And then, we go into, we got started there in, up at Chautauqua Lake. We're a month away from it now, 2 months still. I'm still 2 months away. But, we got started up there and,
How was the bite initially?
Initially, it was slow initially. Weeds, crazy weeds, very mild winter, and another one coming up. Weeds growing in places. I have marks on my GPS thing where you and I fished, Andy, years ago. And that was like the same marks that I have down. That was the weed line in a lot of places. Never saw it change in the last 10 years. This year they were way out further come opener. I was probably not even within 75 yards, maybe 100 yards. Couldn't even get into those areas. And you know, I blamed it on the mild winter and early warm temperatures, which I think we'll be dealing with again this year. But yeah, it was kind of slow. I mean, I think there were just so many more weeds to the absolute start of the season. Now you wait till about a week or two into the season, and yeah, the calf spite was on. Pretty much all I tried to do in June is cast that early weed growth and follow that out, and a lot of great fish, a lot of great purse fish, raptors, king, always. That's where we were.
And then, and then, like, did the trolling bite ever catch, or?
Yeah, I mean, it did. I mean, we had our days, but it's not the, you know, Chautauqua was a little different than it was, you know? So the first 30 fish that my clients put in the boat, my clients and I caught a few of these fish. First 30 fish we caught, 21 of those fish were over 40 inches. Almost all those were casting.
Okay.
Now I go back, you know, you go back a few years ago, and, you know, the first 30 fish you would catch, it might happen in the first week of the season, and there'd be, you know, five over 40.
So what do you think that's telling you?
That's where Chautauqua is. It's going back to maybe 3 or 4 years ago when we did the podcast with the guys from the hatchery at Chautauqua that said, you know, they were seeing red spot, they were seeing unhealthy fish, they thought there was too many fish, which I totally agree. And remember when they said that they, you know, they cut the stocking back to, you know, a third of what they used to do.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we're seeing that. There's no doubt we're seeing that. The numbers aren't, you know, it's a totally different Chautauqua Lake than what most of the people that have been fishing there for the last 10 to 30 years ago are seeing. You know, great place to go. You catch your fish, you get your first muskie, you catch numerous muskies. It's changed from that. You know, it comes now. It's like you get a few chances, and you know, there's a really good chance it's going to be the biggest fish you've ever caught for most people that I'm taking out. You know, I have guys that have had 10 fish days, but now they're breaking personal 10 fish days that were happening, you know, 10 years ago. Now they're breaking their personal best, but you know, we had two bites. Now, this year, I did, you know, towards the end of the season, I was seeing usually. So what happens is, like, when you get into, like, October, you know, late September, October, you start catching, you know, obviously it's a great time to catch big fish, but then we start catching some of these fish that are, like, 26, 28, 27 inches long, stuff like that. So you got to realize those fish in early season, they were probably only like 20 inches long. That's what they grew that year.
Mm-hmm.
And used to always catch those. You catch a great big one and you catch three fish that are real little. And I just wasn't seeing those last couple of years, but Chautauqua did, you know, they bumped up the stocking as of like 2 years ago. And now this is the first year in the last 2 or 3 years that I saw any amount of those fish that, you know, the smaller fish that you could look while you're fishing, they follow, they hit. There's like, okay, there's our future.
Okay.
And I did, you know, we did start seeing some this year. I mean, a couple of years ago, I just wasn't seeing them, wasn't catching them, and neither was anybody else. You know, it's not just me. You can't just say, oh, this is, you know, what I did. I know what everybody else is doing there, and neither did anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of them showing up. Not a lot, but there was enough to make it, you know, the future. Future will come.
You just got to sort through them right now. It's kind of like what Pama Tuning was, pumping out giants, nothing small.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much where Chautauqua is right now. And, but it'll change quickly. You know, next year should be putting out some of those action fish that I need on my charters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not the guy that has never gone before and, you know, reels one in and you can see I'm excited. It's like, there's your first muskie. Yeah, it's 51. Wow, is that nice? It's like, yeah.
Is this
yeah,
a big one?
Nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, nice.
But we'll see.
That's all you can really do, right?
Yep. We'll talk a little more about last season coming up here, but it kind of wraps us up. It gets us up to date to where we're not going to be a year behind.
Yeah. We've dug out of that year behind.
Yeah. We'll catch up quickly.
Oh, very good. Well, anything else you want to add?
No, man, I'm good. Get a hold of us, Muddy Creek Fishing Guides, mcfishandguides.com. Got a few dates I can do in Pennsylvania, and then, you know, my June, July is all pretty much filled. I got a few days at the end of July, but it's still early for me. I just made my schedule after last season, and
yeah,
we'll be ready to go.
So another reminder, if you're going to the Odyssey up there in Canada, Red October booth, see Hans Mann. He has some AZ rod holders if you're looking to save a few bucks there. And, yeah, I might be – we're going to see how things go, but I'm going to probably drop hints of some new baits here soon that we're currently working on. So got to keep
bait.
Yeah. We're going to play new around bait. With it. What's that?
New bait. New baits, and I still have to this week I got my basement. I got all my projects sort of done around here. And I'm going to come up and do one more little paint run, and we'll go from there.
Get all these baits that I've packaged up out of them. I'm tripping over them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Very good. With that, everyone have a happy Easter, and good luck fishing. Thanks for listening.